and welcome to another Directions Media podcast. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief. In a series of special topic podcasts, we'll explore cloud computing and what its impact might be for the geospatial technology sector. Cloud computing is in its early stages as a new platform, and the broader implications for widespread adoption have not been fully understood, especially from the standpoint of whether it will save money, provide opportunities for applications to reach more people, and ultimately streamline the way software solutions are managed. Today I will be speaking with Mike Hickey, president of Pitney Bowes Business Insights, who will provide his company's perspective on delivering solutions in a cloud environment. I hope you enjoy this interview. Well, Mike, thanks for joining me today. And so since cloud computing has become one of these hot topics, kind of a buzzword issue, I really wanted just to delve into some of the issues that the Pitney Bowes Business Insight is dealing with. And I remember specifically, you know, at the PBBI Insights conference that you were really strongly urging attendees to consider moving to cloud computing. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that and whether it's your assumption that users, your users and their CIOs or who's ever managing their enterprise computing environment is ready to re-architect their IT infrastructure to take advantage of a cloud computing platform. So I just wanted to get your ideas of what you're hearing from your users at this time.
Yeah, so you know, I think not only from our users, but some of the things that I've participated in from the standpoint of, you know, how analysts are talking about the marketplace as well. For instance, I know, you know, McKinsey did a study in 2008, which actually looked at top C-level type people across many different size businesses and across different C-level functions. And 74% of those respondents actually talked about the fact they really would prefer that they were going to implement SaaS models. So it's something that they're thinking about. And I think that's really being driven, you know, by the need to sort of attach your return and your value more directly to what you're spending as an enterprise. So, you know, I think what's happened is, and I think both the recession in the early part of the decade and this recession has helped accelerate sort of move evolution of what was going on with SaaS more into a revolution mode. So CIOs and CEOs have over the years have gotten sick of projects being delivered in twice the amount of the time that they told them they were being delivered in at twice the cost. And, you know, it's hard to measure results delivering maybe half the results that they ended up talking about. So the whole idea of, you know, paying for a lot of value up front and then hope you get it over time is something that's sort of dwindling. So now that the technology is lining up with the capability to deliver value on a utility basis, which is I pay for it as I get it back, I think is really attractive to businesses. Now, you mentioned one thing there, Joe, about sort of re-architecting infrastructures. You know, that will certainly be a, you know, you look at something like this, and though I think it's a major shift in what's going on in the technology world, much like, you know, Windows and PCs were, much like the Internet was, I think this will be a major shift. I'm not sure you're going to see a lot of people rewriting a lot of infrastructure. You know, I think what you're going to see is a focus on, as newer solutions and as new things come out, more of a focus on developing, you know, the newer stuff on this. And as you build solutions and pull things together, that you'll be maybe rewriting pieces of code to build solutions as we move forward. So, you know, I'm certainly not interested in saying my business, we're going to go rewrite all our code so that we can turn our whole on-premise business as a software-as-a-service business.
Right. Well, that kind of really nicely leads into my next question, which is, are the necessary supporting platforms in place for you and for PBBI to offer its solutions in a cloud environment? So if we're not re-architecting everything, are the services in place to provide you with what you need to deliver the solutions to your clients and customers?
So if when you say services, I'm not sure if you sort of mean the sort of infrastructure availability.
Right. In other words, are the people like Amazon and Citrix and those supporting companies, you know, ready to provide you with what you need to go forward to your clients?
Yeah. So I think, you know, I think all that is part of the transition that you need to manage. That, I think, is the next battleground. You know, so you do have players like Amazon, like you mentioned, Google, IBM, Microsoft and one of the few that has a large enterprise SaaS application business, Salesforce.com. I think that's the new battleground for all those players. And some capabilities are better than others right now. I think the race will be on. I would use the analogy to this almost feels like to me like the early wireless days where, people are going to be forced to build out infrastructure, and yet you're going to have to cooperate and probably be able to share infrastructure because the returns, you have to measure the returns, and there's so many players building that infrastructure, you almost have to share it to get the proper returns. And when we think of the cloud, on a cloudy day, you got a sky full of clouds. It's not actually one cloud, but it's a bunch of different clouds. And I think over time, I think you'll see, companies may be able to will certainly be able to deploy things in different clouds.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And one of the things that I was wondering about is, when you begin to offer your services, how do you offer them in the chunks? In other words, are you set up to offer certain of your software solutions or your data products on a cloud platform? Are you going to have many clouds or single cloud? And have you thought that far enough ahead?
Yeah, so I think you'd like to make some initial choices in the beginning where you're picking the right infrastructure that's going to serve you forever in the future. But as you said, you got those five players playing, how they develop their infrastructure, what they'll focus on. Some will be better than others. You may find that one set of infrastructure may be better for one market or how you deliver things versus another. And that's some stuff we still have to do. So, we're in the process of, looking at all those alternatives, which one we think may look well for us, and also looking at where we think the geographical and vertical markets and the right solution set with, what we have as a sort of core competencies in our business will lead us to focus investment for these type of solutions moving forward.
Is it your thought that cloud as an architecture is it much different than what we said maybe a year ago that this is a web service that you can just pull down over the net it seems like this has been an evolutionary process to get to cloud computing. I mean, we used to call things web services. Software as a service kind of was out there for a bit, but now everything is moved to this one term, and I wonder if there's some confusion out there and whether you have to tell people what the definition is and what you're telling them.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think some of that is part of the evolution. I think we're sort of in that SaaS 2.0 region now, which is, I think, about how companies are actually transforming how they do business. And it's it really is about the customers because it's not – the technology is delivering to, that customer need of – being able to get that value and be able to have more control over, the return and what they're investing at any point in time. And so it's sort of a customer-driven sort of business model thing that's happening out there. And I think there's an evolution that's happened all along. I think ASPs and hosting and so forth were some early versions of, what is starting to develop as software as a service. But you're also going to have a lot of other things happening in the cloud, data as a service. What's going to happen is people will also reach into the cloud for certain functionality. So you may have client-server applications that are, using SOA architectures to reach into the cloud. We already see that. In fact, that's the part of the business that, we already do a piece of the business in, and a lot of people do. And that will continue to evolve. I think the thing that's promising for the whole SaaS and cloud computing is it changes your relationship with your customer because it becomes more about the relationship. It is more of a long-term commitment. And how you manage that customer relationship, it's not only software as a service. It becomes a services approach to how you engage with your customers. And that requires many companies to change their culture, to change their work processes, from tech support, customer service, and so forth, all the way down. But it also gives you a great opportunity to have a sense of community, a way to continually communicate with your clients, to know, what they do. For example, a company like Salesforce.com that has built the scale they have, they know what to build next for their clients because they're able to see how actually their clients are using the software now and the things that they're trying to do and would like to do. So that sort of void that many times exists between a development organization not knowing exactly what customers would want to do, you know, you have the advantage of having a lot of that information by actually looking at the usage of your clients on the, you know, on an everyday basis. So those offer, I think, a lot of opportunity in changing the whole experience and how you work with your customers, how you can communicate on a daily basis, and how you can extract information from their behaviors and what they're trying to do.
Yeah, and I was going to say that I've read in a couple different places that Salesforce.com is kind of one of the models out there for cloud computing. So can you relate that to what you may deliver from your suite of products? You know, does MapInfo Pro move to the cloud in that type of a model? In other words, does it fit? You know, is like a Salesforce.com business model fit a MapInfo Pro model?
So I think, you know, with Salesforce.com, it took a horizontal business problem, right, which was the whole idea around CRM. And it evolved over time. So it started with contacts, but then it got into a full-boat CRM system. That's a process that any company needs to follow, right, and it goes across every industry. And so their business model is around that horizontal value proposition of managing customer accounts. Other approaches other companies could take around their solution set is more with a vertical approach, right? And I think either one of those, if you have something that goes horizontal across or something that's vertical that lends itself to a SaaS application, those are two great approaches. Now, you mentioned our product, MapInfo Pro, and you know, I'm not going to sit here and say we got a bunch of people in the back room working on moving that to the web, but what we do as a philosophy and a strategy and our roadmaps of being able to utilize cloud computing as part of our architecture of the product as it moves forward. So some examples with that certainly would be data as a service, right? Geocoding as a service, so other functionality that you may want to add over time. I think Pro is an exciting project because it's so rich in functionality, but any given user probably only uses 15 to 20% of the functionality, and every given user uses a different 15 to 20% of the functionality. So our ability of being able to add functionality that people want, be able to do that, I think, in this environment as software as a service and have Pro reaching out to grab that functionality when it's needed, I think it's going to allow us a lot more flexibility on how we deliver the product, not have to wrap all the functionality within a product on a development cycle of six to 12 months. You know.
Right, right. But it does seem to be somewhat disruptive for the user, going forward that, you know, okay, I only want to take 15% of the product functionality and bring it down into my environment. That puts pressure both on them and you to figure out what it is you want to deliver of those services. So whether it's a platform as a service or software as a service, it sounds like you've got some choices to make in terms of how you deliver that, you know, those segments of functionality.
Well, absolutely. You know, and certainly we're not talking about going backwards from the functionality we have now, but you get into different verticals. You know, certainly people that are more GIS specific may ask for different functionality versus someone that might be doing site selection and so forth. So that gives you probably the ability to package it differently using, you know, this model versus to have to package everything as a standalone desktop product.
I think that's true. And I want to go back to one other thing, maybe just to finally wrap up our discussion, because I don't want to keep you too long, but is something you mentioned about the different service providers that you rely on. You know, there's certain assumptions about cloud computing, which is, number one, internet is always up, and number two, everything is secure. And so whether you're bringing down little bits of functionality, you as a supplier of technology are kind of at risk at the other end, which is relying on the people who are providing you services. So it seems like there's a little bit of a trickle-down effect that may complicate things, and I think it will put the users kind of on, maybe on shaky ground to say, well, I've got to rely on so many different pieces of the pie. And I think you said it actually more succinctly, which is the environment in which your clients now find their relationship with Pitney Bowes is as a service provider, not just a provider of, you know, software or a box or just a data product, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's always, you know, some of the barriers to SaaS in the past have been around, you know, bandwidth and security and those things. You know, a lot of those walls have come down. You know, who would have ever thought that people would be willing to put their customer information outside their firewalls, right? And but that's exactly what's happened in the Salesforce.com model. So, you know, and Salesforce.com, that's a pretty critical function, you know, for certainly any company that's delivering on a quarterly basis to be able to have access to that system all the time. And, you know, though they've had you know, downtimes in the past, it's they've proved it as an operating model that's working and doesn't interfere with people's ability to do business. So, you know, I think all that stuff evolves. You know, we're talking about a transition here. I know we can do on-premise software business because that's what we do. You know, the challenge, and you mentioned that I mentioned at our user conference, you know, our challenge is for our community, our users, our partners, and our employees is to change the culture to be able to take advantage of this new opportunity. You know, you don't want to have it come and not be able to take advantage of it because that could be the difference between winning and losing in the next decade.
Well, great. Thanks, Mike. And maybe a year from now we'll have another discussion as to what has happened and transpired in the previous 12 months. So I appreciate your time.
Well, thank you, Joe.
Thanks for joining us today on another Directions Media podcast. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment in our comment box on Directions Mag or All Points blog. Thanks again, and be sure to tell a friend.